Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Bruce James. Bruce is the public printer of the United States and the chief executive officer of the U.S. Government Printing Office. And joining us on our conversation is Lauren Ewald.
Bruce, recently GPO announced a major reorganization plan to streamline agency management. Can you tell us more about this plan and your progress to date?
Sure, I'd be glad to. You know, when I walked in the front door, we had a sort of a cumbersome scheme for managing the organization. There were 21 people that reported directly to the public printer, and most decisions were made in the public printer's office and frequently by the public printer himself. And, you know, you're trying to run a large bureaucracy. It really ties you down. I didn't come into the GPO to run a printing plant. I've owned a lot of printing plants, but I've never run one. I felt my time would be best used in developing the strategy for the future of the GPO. And so the first thing I did was decide that I wanted to convert my deputy's post to a chief operating officer's post. And that's relatively new in the government, as you know. I know Dave Walker, the Comptroller General of the United States, has done some writing about this, but we're one of the first agencies to actually move forward with this. And then we basically tossed to the senior managers of the GPO the problem of how do you reorganize the place so that we could get so we could manage it, so we get the kind of responses and get the level, get the change that we wanted as quickly as we wanted to get the change. And I felt that if I did that, and I certainly knew what a modern organization looked like, if I did it, I felt that I might not get buy-in from our people that were there. So what I did was I asked a group of 39 of the existing managers at GPO to take a look at this. And we gave them some guidance, and I had a deputy chief of staff manage this process. But we brought everybody together in a room, and we spent half a day in talking about how you think about organizing, how you would think about organizing the GPO in a fashion that would be easier to manage. Then we broke into five groups and let each of the five groups tackle some issues, same issues. And then they came back and they elected a chairman to speak for their groups, and they were just amazed to find that each of the five groups had come to the same conclusions. And this went on through several sessions, and at the end of about 45 days, I walked into a meeting on a Friday afternoon, and in which they presented to me how they wanted to reorganize the GPO. And, you know, might not have been exactly what I would have done, but I will tell you it's very, very good. And, you know, I asked the question, does anybody here believe that we can't make this work? And everybody said, no exception, that we could make it work. Now, not everyone got what they wanted. And some people lost what they considered some status in their position in the organization. But they all realized that at the end of the day, this was going to make the GPO stronger, more flexible, and allow us to drive the organization into the future.
Can you give us some of the highlights or tenets behind the plan?
We wanted to organize the business as a business. And we wanted to increase the focus on customers. Now, in our case, you know, we have customers at two levels. We have government agencies, and there are roughly 550 segments of government that buy printing from us or buy information services from us. And we wanted to be able to have a group that didn't just wait for the phone to ring, but went out and made phone calls and visited with our agency customers and presented to them new ideas and new strategies for helping them to accomplish their communications goals. Then we wanted to have we wanted to eliminate all the little fiefdoms in that big building of ours, and we wanted to have one streamlined management for running the plant, which we did. And then we wanted an organization that was focused on the public and the library community and to streamline that, and we did that. We also then carved out for the very first time a chief human capital officer position. The GPO never had one. It just had a bunch of little groups dealing with different parts of personnel. And we carved that out, and we hired a search firm in New York to help us find the right person. And some of my colleagues in government took a deep breath when they heard that I'd hired a search firm to do it. But frankly, I think the person that we want in that job doesn't even know if that job exists. And they're probably very comfortable in an existing job. And I think we can show them an opportunity for public service that'll be just almost unparalleled. We did the same thing with chief financial officer. We had budget officers and controllers and various financial people, but there wasn't one single source for managing the administration and finance of the agency. So we created a chief financial officer spot. And then, believe it or not, with a high technology organization like ours, the technology was spread throughout the business, and there was no centralized planning or management. So we created a chief information officer's office also. And then we reorganized the staff, and I hired a chief of staff, General Frank Partlow, who has really been a help to me in getting my arms around this. And while the staff people, like the general counsel and the inspector general and administrative law judge, report to me functionally, how they organize their offices, how they run their offices, the day-to-day routine things, they coordinate with Frank Partlow, again, allowing me to spend 80% of my time in the future and only 20% in the present.
The president's management agenda drives a lot of the management thinking in and around town, and one of the big areas of focus is competitive sourcing. I'm curious, how does GPO think about competitive sourcing, given the fact that a lot of your work is already done by other vendors?
When I walked in the door, the GPO was arguing that we were already following along on the president's agenda by outsourcing so much of our work to the private sector. Last year, I believe it was 2,568 printers that we sent work to every state in the country. But what happened, you may remember this, at least in reading about it, it was after World War II in the 50s and 60s when the U.S. government left Washington, began to branch out and build offices across the country. Well, the GPO quite correctly followed in their path and built these offices all over the country. We have one time we had 25 field offices. We now have about 20 to serve the needs of government throughout the country. Well, that was fine when printing was the name of the game, but printing volume is falling like a rock, and we no longer can afford to support that very large organization throughout the country. So it really became necessary for us to take a look at how we could move printing buying back to the agencies and do it in conformance with the law, with what we have, our mandate under Title 44. And so before Mitch Daniels left as the budget director, heading the Office of Management and Budget, we formed a compact with him in which we would move agency purchasing of printing back to the agencies. We will still control it. We'll still do the contracting with printers, and we'll pay the bills. But agencies will be free to choose their own vendors. In exchange for which, he agreed to shut down as many of the government printing plants as possible so we could move that work to the private sector too, and to make certain that every agency sent an electronic copy and two paper copies, if they printed it, of every document to the GPO so we could get it into our collection. I think this is going to be, this may be the most significant agreement the GPO has reached in 50 years. I'm very pleased with it, and I think it follows right along the lines of the president's management agenda.
Another item in the president's management agenda is human capital, and you talked about hiring a human capital officer. I'm curious, what are the human capital challenges at GPO?
Again, when I walked in the door, 52% of the workforce was age eligible to retire. And you have to understand that in a manufacturing business, as GPO was for so many years, that they didn't go looking for college graduates. People came into the GPO through apprentice programs. And we would advertise throughout the country and maybe have 2,000 people for every apprentice position that we had, and we were able to hire the best and the brightest people from around the country. These were people coming out of high school. So today what I have is a group of very bright, very experienced, very dedicated people that are used to traditional printing processes. And as we move to electronic processes, we don't have the people with that kind of background. So we're going to have to both retrain our workforce, a big undertaking, and we're also going to have to, of course, supplement from the outside and bring some new people in that have more experience. When I presented this to our folks, and I had the first 2 days in the job, I talked to all of the people on North Capitol. We work around the clock, so I gave one speech at 4 in the morning, one at 10 at night, and three others in sort of the daylight hours. And the questions from each of those groups were very similar. And the question was, well, Mr. James, we believe you when you say the 19th century isn't going to return and that we have to move into the 21st century, but GPO policy only allows us to be trained for the jobs that we have today. We're not allowed to be trained for any other job. Well, of course, I found that curious, and so I put a team of our people looking at this and found that this, in fact, is true, and it's a set of regulations that we created 50 years ago. So we changed those regulations. The GPO now trains for mission. And we are now in a position to take those folks that are interested in moving forward into the new electronic world, and we'll bring them right along with us.
How long do you think this process will take in terms of sort of introducing new things?
I told the White House that I would, I didn't think I could get the job done in less than 3 years, because it involves fact-finding and then making a plan and then implementing the plan. And it might take as long as 5 years. If I don't have it done in 5 years, I'm probably the wrong person. So that sort of gives you the time frame. We are moving. We are not waiting while we gather facts. Those things that we know need to be changed, irrespective of our business model in the future, we're changing as we come across them. We keep a list of these things. We've got about 40 major accomplishments under our belt. That's the good news. Perhaps the other news is we got more than 80 in front of us here. So we're keeping track of where we need to go. It's being managed by my chief of staff, overlooking that process, and we're driving it every day.
It's a good stopping point. We've got to go to break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our discussion about management with Bruce James, the Government Printing Office. This is the Business of Government Hour.